South Florida's classic rock, Big 105.9. Well, the Miami Book Fair virtually underway. It's funny, every year, man, we have this big bash in Miami, all the great authors coming to town, and Dave Barry hosts, you know, his band plays, and there's always something happening. Well, unfortunately, this year, you know how it goes. Everything's virtual. You can go to MiamiBookFairOnline.com to see when the author's conversations will be available. We got one on the line now. You know, I was perusing the books, and I'm like, this is right up my alley. Jacksonville and the Roots of Southern Rock. And the author is Michael Ray Fitzgerald, who's a media historian, a musician, a journalist, and he's out of Jacks. As a kid who was weaned on Southern Rock, whose high school, after Skinner's plane went down, they flew our flag at half mast, and we all stood in front of the school and cried on that day. I can really appreciate the genre and the history of it. Hiya, Michael.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Real good, man. I got your book digitally just yesterday, so I haven't had a chance to read much of it, but I did jump into a couple of the chapters early on, and let's talk about it. Is Jacksonville the epicenter? Is this where it all started?
No, I wouldn't say that, but I would say it was motherlode. There's about a dozen Southern rock bands that came out of here in the late 60s and 70s, so it wasn't the birthplace of Southern rock, but it was the motherlode.
I guess for me, as a kid, Skinnerd is the first one that we started hearing it, and then not until I was a little bit older did I come to really appreciate the Allman Brothers. And now, you know, I mean, but I will say this, that if Skinner's plane hadn't gone down, they would have continued to be and maybe become the biggest American rock band in history. They were on their way. They were knocking out an album a year, and every album it was bigger than the next.
I'm not too sure about that. They had a pretty big slump just before they added Steve Gaines. So they were poised for a comeback. But who knows what would have happened after the plane crash. That, you know, they probably would have drank themselves to death.
They definitely could have imploded in that way. You know, so I go back as a kid. I remember my first show that I went to. I had to fight my parents, but I went to the West Palm Beach Auditorium. Elvin Bishop opened up for the Charlie Daniels Band. Now, this is mid-70s, and classic rock was under its way. And I guess Charlie Daniels did that The South's Gonna Do It Again song. And that was that opened my eyes to a lot of Southern rock. Now, where was he? Was a Tennessee guy, right?
Carolinas.
So he lived
in Tennessee. He moved to Tennessee, but he's originally from, I think, North Carolina, South Carolina. I'm not sure which one, but he lived in Nashville for a long time. Gosh, he was a session player, and he worked with Bob Dylan even, and when Dylan did recording in Nashville.
So let's talk about that era of Southern rock. Like, how long did that period? You know, we have our grunge eras, we have our new wave eras. How long was that moment?
The big bang was about from 69 to about 79 when Capricorn Records closed. Southern rock was already going out of style in 79, and there were a few groups like 38 Special and the Johnny Van Zandt Band that were trying to revamp their image, you know, and disassociate themselves from Southern rock, because it was going out of style in a big way in 79.
Interestingly, I interviewed Henry Paul from the Outlaws at one point. He was in my studio, and I started asking about all these other bands. He's like, you know, there's a misconception out there that we were all buddies and we all hung out. In fact, he said, like, I didn't even like the guys in Marshall Tucker. So is that true? Did you find that in your research?
Yeah, I've heard people say Southern rockers, we're all one big family. I'm like, nah, I don't think so. You know, like you say, a lot of these guys didn't like each other. And, you know, Henry Paul got in a huge fight with Ronnie Van Zandt.
Did Ronnie Van Zandt beat his ass?
Beat him up really bad.
Oh, holy crap.
Well, Ronnie Van Zandt, he would, if you were in a practice, in a warm, you know, rehearsal with the band and you missed a note, he would beat your ass. He was that much of a lunatic,
Jesus.
But a perfectionist. I swear to God, Alan Collins,
Gary
Robinson.
He was worse than that. He took a bottle and broke it and slashed up the back of Gary Robinson's hands because he didn't think Robinson was playing well one night.
Holy my God!
And Gary Robinson still playing. You know, after all these years, it's amazing. I was thinking about the genre, and we're talking to Michael Ray Fitzgerald. He has a book out. Part of the Miami Book Fair Online.com, MiamiBookFairOnline.com. And the book's called Jacksonville and the Roots of Southern Rock. I was thinking about the music today, and, you know, I mean, we have it on the classic rock stations across the country, but I hear there's bands out there like Cadillac 3, and they're now pigeonholed into country music, but if Cadillac 3 had come out in the mid-70s, they would have been a Southern rock band. Am I wrong?
Oh, that's exactly right. I mean, a lot of Nashville just sort of took over country rock. A lot of what you consider, I mean, Southern rock, just swallowed it up. A lot of what you'd consider country music is what I'd call Southern rock, you know? Jason Aldean, even Chris Stapleton, I consider that Southern rock.
So in the hierarchy of the genre of Southern rock, in your expert opinion, is it the Allman Brothers, Skynyrd, and on down the line? Where, how do you rank them?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Skynyrd's probably the most popular. Somebody did some research for me and found out that Skynyrd's got something like 1.5 billion hits on YouTube. I mean, they're just, like you say, they keep getting bigger and bigger. The Allman Brothers is a little bit more of a boutique-type act and sort of for more intellectual-type people who really like improvisation and virtuoso musicianship. But they're, you know, they're still really, really big, too. They still sell a lot of records.
You know, you mentioned, I love them all, but you mentioned the Allman Brothers. I'm sorry, you mentioned YouTube and Skynyrd. I was at a Skynyrd show at the Miami Baseball Stadium when I was a teenager, and I have looked everywhere for footage of this show or pictures, and it just doesn't exist. And this is from the late 70s. The reason I looked is I'm looking for myself because I was in the world's first mosh pit.
Oh, yeah, that's
it was at
right.
That show. And I went to the front of the stage, and I know, listen, there was only a few people in the front row, and I was one of them, and my buddy Guy DeLuca, and we were moshing with people, and I was like, it's got to be out there somewhere. But I guess in those days, they didn't tape all the shows.
Yeah, you know, that was their heyday, all right.
My memory doesn't serve me as well from back then.
Was Ed King with them? Kind of heavy set guitar player from California.
No, I know Ed King very well. I was with Strawberry Alarm Clock, and came in my studio, played the notes from Sweet Home Alabama in front of me, and I almost cried.
Wow, he was a monster player, wasn't he?
He was. We just lost him a year or two ago as well, man.
It's a shame. He quit the band because Ronnie Van Zant threw him up against a wall and broke a lamp and stuck the shards of the light bulb up to his neck and said, "I could kill you right now if I wanted to." And he walked out in the middle of the night, left his guitar, amp, and everything.
Ronnie Van Zant was a complete maniac and a lunatic. Well, that's why your book is going to be excellent to read. Michael Ray Fitzgerald, Jacksonville and the Roots of Southern Rock. I can't thank you enough for being on the show. I'm going to keep your number because the next time there's a question about Southern Rock, I'm calling you.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it, man.
No, it's a treat.
And Mike, y'all have a good day.
You too, Mike.
See you, bud.